We got engaged.
Carrington's interest. That'll do.
Keep up to date with the latest WSL action and the biggest interviews.
Team keeping an eye on our games. It just shows how big we're growing.
Subscribe to the Koi Gig podcast stream on the OTB Sports app now.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
You know, that wasn't an All-Ireland winning performance.
Probably should have won the game based on the second half performance.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
OTBAN's performance rankings with Gillette.
I'm scratching my head. That performance was just lacked that intensity.
Okay, so every week we run the performance rankings in association with our friends at Gillette, and you can win a Gillette starter pack. If you want to get involved, just tell us who you think should be in the red, the amber or the green. Red has had a bad weekend, amber's like meh, and grand sometimes, but could be better, could be better, could be worse. Green is obviously all Ireland this weekend. Green for Ireland, green for go. So what have we got? We'll start with the red. We've got Portugal, we've got Kenny's Critics, we've got the Irish Rugby World Cup hopes in orange, and we've got Jason Knight and Irish Rugby in green. So Portugal in red.
I didn't put in the Kenny's Critics because it is a bit of a Golden Cleric element, this, like, you know, because I think in general we're all Kenny fans here, aren't we, anyway?
I mean, I'm
you're pragmatic.
I'm a disinterested,
dispassionate
yeah. observer, and I think that that doesn't mean that
I'm to say okay. But the first one is Portugal.
Portugal in the red.
Portugal made a mess here because I don't know if they approached the game in Dublin as well as they should have, and there was no guarantee they were going to beat Serbia. Serbia are a good side. I think the view in the Irish camp is that Serbia have been better than Portugal over the four games. And bear in mind, Ireland's over four games against Serbia and Portugal lost by a couple of goals. So, like, losing by a half a goal per game, we were very competitive in all those games. And I think we have to look at that. If the group started now, for example, like, I have no doubt but Ireland would be beating Luxembourg and Azerbaijan at home. So we'd be going into the group now really hopeful that we might nick second place. So that, I think that's fair to say. And I think we go, bear in mind, like, the Travers situation, Bazuno, and one of them, Kenny definitely got this wrong. Like, Bazunu should have started against Serbia, we can say now, but these are the mistakes you learn in the job. And Ireland got a lovely goal in that game as well, obviously against Portugal and Faro. I think there was an element of the boy who cried wolf with Aaron Connolly, but he probably should have gotten a penalty. Adam Eda 100% should have gotten a penalty, despite having a poor game the first half. So all of these things, in any event, Portugal put themselves under a bit of pressure now, and I was disappointed with them, Ger, in both games against Ireland. I thought they looked like a team that hasn't really played together that much, which is amazing considering the quality that they have. And fair play to Serbia, I thought they were good to watch, and they've qualified, and Portugal have a battle now.
It feels like they don't really know how to get a team from the sum of their parts, yeah. And that's their issue. And I don't think that was just manifest in Dublin. I think it was clear in Faro, and it's been clear the whole way through that one of the bad teams had a lead on them at one point early on. Remember, we were top of the group for like 8 seconds at one stage. That was Serbia. We were behind the night. We were ahead of Portugal. Anyway,
I actually can't remember that yet. Anyway,
my point is that they don't seem to be particularly well managed at the moment, and it'll be interesting to see if they don't qualify for the World Cup. If Ronaldo becomes player manager for the last stage of.
If he isn't already.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Bruno Fernandes has been, I don't know, he's looked well out of sorts as well. And should they, like, I thought that this is, in terms of Kenny getting a bit of luck later on in this campaign, I think he was a little bit lucky that Portugal didn't really, in horse racing parlance, they weren't off to some extent on Thursday. They didn't really care if they got a draw towards the end, I thought, and that maybe made Ireland look a bit better than they were, but they've messed it up now, and I wouldn't be banking on them winning the playoff. I wasn't that surprised that they didn't beat Serbia. And yeah, it'll be interesting. It's
I definitely tuned out of the playoff scenario as soon as we weren't available. So I don't know who they're going to be playing or what.
Yeah,
what,
and like, same as, like, this, I mean, North Macedonia are in a playoff position. It is actually worth looking at some of the teams that got there, because there's a big narrative going on apart from the dead rubbers we've been playing. But Portugal look a team that are kind of vulnerable, and Ireland expose them. Like, we had a lot of chances in Portugal by Irish standards, and I think that was a bit of a red flag at the time as well.
Yeah, I think So Portugal are in the red. Who else is in the red? Oh, Kenny's critics are in the red. Let's be having you. Come on. Let's see what, how do they manage to complain about what we've done now with all the young players coming through and the clean sheets and the clear style of identity and playing better football and a full crowd. What else? What are the remaining sticks that you're trying to beat Stephen Kenny with?
I don't know if he has that many critics now. I know there have been a few people in the media who I've been interested in reading some of the journalists in the media who've been more critical of Kenny maybe than I think is warranted, and their attitude in general has been changing now. I think they've kind of been turned around a bit. But one thing I would say about last night is a lot of what Kenny has achieved with Ireland in the last sort of one defeat in 10, there have been extenuating circumstances in a lot of those games. And even if you look at last night, Adam Ida did not play well. He should have been awarded a penalty, which changes the narrative. He goes from a 5 out of 10 to a 6 or a 7 out of 10 if he's awarded a penalty. That's nothing to do with him. But he didn't play well. And it's difficult at that level. Luxembourg weren't that bad. They've got 9 points in this group. They're not bad. They're a fairly well-coached team. It's difficult at that level when you've had Adam Ida up front who's not getting his game for Norwich, isn't playing well for Ireland, and you still have to win a game like that. And Ireland found a way. They made changes. But it's difficult when not all your players are firing. And bear in mind, we finished the game against Portugal with Adam Ida, who's not playing for Norwich, Callum Robinson, who plays for West Brom, and a wing-back in League One up front. So that's where we're at. Like, so Kenny is dealing with players that are really, you know, are doing well to be competing at this level.
And James McLean, who I think
he's been amazingly good.
So what do you put down the quality of the good performance from players who aren't playing brilliantly normally? It's good quality coaching.
It's happy players.
It's everybody fully understanding what their role is within the system. Your job is to do this. If you do that, I'm going to be happy with you.
Yeah. We spoke about that Saturday, Ger. It's not. I know sometimes for a player, he might find, you know, when I'm on international duty, this is like a renaissance for me because I can get to show what I can do. But, I mean, surely Jeff Hendrick would be better if he were playing week in, week out. And, like, McLean coming in, I know he's playing well for his club, but his performances for Ireland the last three or four games have been, like, really, really good for a player that's, he doesn't have a turn of foot really anymore. And, you know, he's obviously getting on a bit. And generally, the senior players have, and this was the question mark about Kenny, you know, he's a bit of an enigmatic character. How will Kenny, what sort of response will he get from the senior players? And they're absolutely playing out of their skin for him. And Duffy's comments after the Portugal game attest to the love that's there, I think.
Like, I know, and your point was relatively well made on Friday night, that the most important job in Irish football is actually who comes in to replace Ruud Doctor. But there is actually a really important thing happening here, and it's about the sense of identity that people who come through the Irish domestic system are going to have. If Stephen Kenny can prove to be successful at international level, then it changes the tenor of everybody who's involved in the League of Ireland. They suddenly begin to believe that they are by rights involved in football at the very highest level. It's the most senior job. That it's the most senior public-facing job. The administrative role of the technical director is not somebody we should really know in public. You shouldn't be talking that often. It should be like once every 6 months or a year, talking about what the future is and plans. But for Stephen Kenny to have come through the Irish system, it means that anybody in the League of Ireland can have faith and belief that they're within their rights to dream of getting that job. And it also nails that whole point, as you're talking about, oh, if you never played football in England, how is Seamus Coleman going to respect these people? How are any of those footballers who were born in England and who came up through the English system, how are they going to look? It's like, hang on a second. It's far better that we have somebody from our system who knows everybody and all the nuances than anybody who was parachuted in from England. It doesn't make any sense for us to do that continuously into the future. Mm. It makes no sense for us to go and spend millions on people who are not involved in Irish football and have no stake in seeing the whole thing improve.
Mm. And not only that in terms of his coaching background, but if you are... I watched it on the stream, which shouldn't be forgotten, that a lot of these games are streamed now. It's amazing kind of ability for these kids to showcase their ability. I watched Galway United, Shamrock Rovers, under-14s playing before 1,200 people in Athlone in a league final there recently. The standard was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And young Kyle Fitzgerald for Galway United, he got a goal right at the end. But I'm saying all this because Kyle Fitzgerald can now look at that game last night and say, well, Gavin Bazuna started. He's Shamrock Rovers' debut. I was actually at that game. He was playing against Bray, and Shamrock Rovers was really struggling at the time. He was 16. Chidozie Ogbeni was at Cork City, and then he moved on to Limerick. Seamus Coleman that you mentioned. All of these players that came through the League of Ireland, this was before the change to Brexit. So now you're looking as a young player, I can achieve a lot in this country and I can play for Ireland and my manager can come through the League of Ireland. And I think this is what you're talking about. There is a massive, massive change. I think the days of the expats declaring for Ireland are now gone. We're going to be producing players coming through. And I think as much as under 21s were a bit disappointed at the weekend, I think the underage teams are playing with a style of football that is part of that moving away from the traditional kick and rush style maybe that we were associated with. And that Ireland team got three goals without playing well, really, at times. They didn't play that well at times last night, but they got three goals, and the goals were lovely goals, the second and third goal.
I think we'll talk about night in a while, but I think that we're not in a situation where we're going to dominate these games and win 7 or 8-0. France won 8-0 last night against Kazakhstan, and Kylian Mbappe scores 4 goals. We don't have those players. We're going to be under the cosh at various stages, and our ability to use the best use our resources in the best way is exactly what we've done. We have a surfeit of centre backs who actually regularly play with 3 at the back, and they have all blossomed in that scenario. We have a load of fullbacks, and we're going to need those fullbacks. And so here's a system that works for us. We don't have that many forwards, so
that's the problem. That's where the challenge is. We need a striker to emerge, really, to get to that next level, because better teams than Luxembourg would have scored against us last night. And if we're 1-0 down, I think it would have been difficult.
Maybe the only significant chances that they have are long range shots, and that is definitely, teams have obviously looked at their ability to score against us from long range, and they're going to be taking long range shots from us. But that's not a bad thing. I mean,
No. And in fair, like, over the last 4 games,
apart from the Duffy mistake, obviously, where there was a good one on one.
Yeah, that should have been a goal. Like, but again, I mean, that was just a stupid mistake. So I wouldn't mind that too much. But if we could get a, you know, he's waiting on one of these strikers to emerge. And you're just hoping this season that, like, we have all these under 21 players that are kind of, Troy Parrott is doing okay. If the other two are struggling at club level, Connolly and Ida, and it'd be great if one of them emerged. But there is that time now for maybe both of them to have club switches and see what happens, because he wouldn't get, like, Ida's still showing promise, and if that penalty is given, which it should be, he'll say, well, I won a penalty.
Yeah,
here.
It's an assist in a way.
It's an assist, but it's an important. It was a good run, and he's quick, and that's what caused.
I think Connolly would have felt the same if he'd won a penalty and we'd gone 2-0 up. Connolly would have been like, look what I did.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, absolutely he would. Like, but it's just, and you could tell he was a bit disappointed coming off, which wasn't really warranted because he hadn't played well. But to see the game intelligence of Jason Knight at that level, I can't say I've seen him play that much. To see his game intelligence to hook the ball around rather than take on shots himself, really, really intelligent play. And he was buzzing after the game, and that's what it's all about.
He's our number 10 of the future, because he can play centre mid and he adds an extra body there, but he's got that creativity, he's got that running, and he's got the dark arts, the little I'm going to win a free kick here that we scored the first goal from.
There was a bit of dark arts about that, to be fair. Yeah,
well, that's what I want. I want a little bit of dark arts in our team.
And bear in mind as well, it's not bad to score from set pieces. Like, Duffy is so dangerous from set pieces at all levels. Like, we have a real, if we get set pieces now, I expect that we'll score fairly regularly, and that's important because that game needed to be unlocked in some shape or form, and it was unlocked by a set piece.
Yeah, and look, it was also unlocked to the change of shape, Callum Robinson going through the middle. Officially through the middle when Ida went off was a switch as well. So let's move on. Kenny's critics in the red. Ireland's Rugby World Cup hopes. This one's a little bit of a reach, okay? So we have definitely, when the World Cup draw was made, so our group is Scotland and the Springboks. And then if we come out of our group, we face the first and second from the group that has France, who are hosting the tournament and look like they're the new Harlem Globetrotters of world sport, or the All Blacks. It was kind of like, maybe we should, you know, use this as a building World Cup. This could be our bridge to the following World Cup. Get a lot of 20-year-olds in who play in this and get that experience, so they're 24 by the time the next one rolls around. It kind of felt like you know, knowing our history, we're screwed. But then at the weekend, we were so good. Like,
how good was it?
Well, the
dominant performance, thoroughly deserved. Leading nearly the whole way.
The Chris Ratu, who's one of the dominant voices in New Zealand rugby, reckons it was like a 20 to 30 point hammering, and the New Zealand coach needs to be fired as a result of how bad they were against us, but how dominant we were as well. So Pascal Jacob says, I'm living in New Zealand. The best thing is none of the papers referring to it as a shocking upset. Look, this is the whole point about sport, isn't it? You get carried away in the moment. You celebrate.
Are they in decline?
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Don't know. I don't think so. I mean, they've lost one game all year against the Springboks.
Mm.
Like, they had five of the pack. They had six of the starting eight pack were the same six who beat the shit out of us in the World Cup 2 years ago. So, but you'd give us a bit of a chance against France or against New Zealand if we played them in a World Cup quarterfinal. It wouldn't be the, we're 15-point underdogs here.
Ireland comfortably enough beats, you know, the All Blacks in terms of, like, they should have won the game. Comfortably should have won the game. So, yeah, of course. The French team, now, from all I know about rugby, that's going to be amazing to see if Ireland end up playing them. They're just so good to watch. But Ireland are good to watch now, all of a sudden.
Brilliant to watch. Yeah. And France play the All Blacks this weekend. So it's a good opportunity for us to get a bit of tape on how that match will go and what our expectations are. But immediately, the, it's just a friendly crowd were out. Stop celebrating this win. You're getting carried away. You're too hyped up.
Like, they had a 6% strike rate against New Zealand, I think, up going into the game. As historically, Ireland have won 6% against them. It wasn't like they beat them in Chicago. They beat them the last time.
Once, yeah.
And I suppose what's interesting is that it does echo the football a bit in that, now, we have an English coach, but he's saying, actually, yeah, we can play a bit different here.
I think that's very important.
Mm.
It's interesting to me that our coaches are of the people. That he's a
very likable bloke.
Andy Farrell's great.
Yeah, he's like Northern English people are a lot like Irish people, to my mind, from my experience.
Yeah.
And obviously Kat is having an influence, but like, just reading Rory O'Connor's report, the forwards had an amazing game, seemingly. They just dominated.
Yeah, they did. And like, the try that was scored at the start of the second half is actually a perfect amalgamation of the backs playing brilliantly and then the forwards hammering it over the line. It's like, if you were to script a try where everybody's involved, you'd be like, actually, this looks like a 15-man game. It wasn't just so one of the try that we got that got called back for the double movement was a set piece where the forward just exploded into New Zealand and we're like, New Zealand were left, the referee saves them. But the try was scored at the start of the second half. Like, the backs swing the ball wide and they're brave with it, and they take risks and they play what's in front of them, all the type of stuff that, you know, the football team are doing. And then the forwards hammered over, and you're like, well, that's a good combination where your forwards are very strong and capable and brilliant. And actually, your backs are clever and they're seeing space and they're using it. So, I don't know. It's exactly what we wanted. The other thing is, one of the things that Andy Dunn has been talking about is that the Joe Schmidt style was very effective, right? Really, really effective. But it requires a very intense physical toll on the players.
Oh, yeah.
Smash, smash, smash. And then we would wonder why we get to the latter stages of the tournaments and everybody's dead. They're like, oh, there's like 16 bodies on the floor. Yeah, and they're all like injured for 6 months afterwards. Whereas with this, the intention is not to have the fight first. The intention is to have the fight at some point, but on your terms, as opposed to you're going to be a target there, constantly being broken at the rooks. And I think that's important. You know, I think it means that, you know, fingers crossed, touch wood, all that kind of stuff, that your injury profile might be less damning when you get to a quarterfinal against New Zealand next time.
What about Carberry?
Carberry comes off the bench and the first thing he has to do is have an argument with the referee about whether or not he's allowed to take the kick. Laws I didn't even understand. Mm. And then just nails the kick and nails another kick and nails another kick and one from the halfway line. You're like, I didn't know he could kick that far, really.
Yeah, that was amazing, that kick. How long can Sexton, he's 36 now?
Yeah, he seems to be in good form.
It's amazing, like, to Actually, it didn't dawn on me that he was quite that old. And I was reading the reports again, 36, and he's still like the key man, I guess. So is that going to become a narrative now? Where how long to Carberry has to challenge him? Like he's had a terribly uninterrupted career.
He has, yeah. And so Carberry will start next weekend, and I think. So one of the things people were worried about was Carberry's confidence. It hasn't looked like he's back to his best just yet. I suspect playing. So Carberry's played twice against New Zealand. So maybe he's played that third game as well. So certainly he's been involved in two of the victories that we've had. And you would hope that he gets an injection of confidence from this. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. So that's our World Cup chances have gone from being in the red to in the amber. Are we getting carried away too much? Are we going to get hammered for this, Johnny? Are we too positive about Irish rugby?
The theory is that we wouldn't be able to sustain this.
Who the hell do we think we are enjoying a victory like this? Who do we think we are, Johnny?
It was the fact that they thoroughly deserve it, though, isn't it? That it wasn't an all-out victory. It was like a dominant. Ireland were the better team pretty much of the game.
Yeah. Now they still nearly lost. Like there was still a few hinge points where there was a forward pass for a try that New Zealand score that put
right
New Zealand
to death, yeah.
That put New Zealand in front with. There was still enough. I still think there was enough time for us to come back and win the game. And the way that we were playing would have there should have been confidence in that. But anyway, like. You're not biting on my culture war in Irish sport. Those who like rugby and those who hate rugby.
Do people look on Joe Schmidt a bit differently now and think, that was great, but we didn't play good rugby?
I think that there was definitely a school of thought at the time. But it was very successful. It was our most successful period ever.
Yeah.
It just failed at the two World Cups that it was supposed to be at. You used to hate rugby, but then you...
I know, I don't hate it, no. It's
not
just,
anymore, but you used to.
No, but still, you can't beat Ireland playing well at rugby. Like, and in fairness, under Joe Schmidt, it was fairly functional. Like, it wasn't. I mean,
we had some amazing days. We beat the All Blacks in a sensational game in Chicago. Like, we played really good rugby that day. We played really good rugby the day they beat us in one of his early games. Was it? I can't remember. Was it 13 or 14? Whenever the first one was, and then we played really good rugby, a different style when we beat them. Here, there was loads of great stuff under Joe Schmidt, like where he took what was malfunctioning and turned it into something that was consistent. It's just that the toll that you pay for that is that your players get injured over the course of a tournament. Right, let's move on. What's in green? Jason Knight's in green. Andy Farrell's in green. So Jason Knight. What would have happened if Wayne Rooney hadn't whatever he did to him in training? He would have been there for more games, and I don't know. Is it just the? So we've long had this conversation on the show with Vinnie Perth about the need for a number 10 in Irish football, and it was when the team was named originally that I thought Alan Brown should have been in. What do I know? That there was definitely. A change there, and like Knight is so exciting.
The
age profile of him and a few others, he's getting game time all the time, and it's notable, and it's noticeable when he comes on.
Yeah, like Kenny referenced after the game, being managing the under 21s, it hasn't worked out for a lot of those 21s, and the step up is obviously huge. Few of them are playing for the seniors, or few of them are doing much for the seniors from Kenny's 21. So Ida's obviously just it's waiting to happen with him. Connolly's having a tough time. Troy Parrott's gone down a level and isn't starting for Ireland.
Bazunu, Knight, Omobamadeli.
Omobamadeli wouldn't really have played for the 21s. Bazunu. Fair enough, Bazunu.
Because they were too young, or
Mobmedelli was more of a late developer, and he's also young. Bazunu didn't start to play, fair enough, but he was also young at the time, well underage for under 21. But the midfielders, Malumbi hasn't happened for him. So Jason Knight was come in, and it was quite stark that Wayne Rooney was giving him so much game time last season because he was so young. But then you see after the game, I think this is part of why Ireland fans are really liking this team. He's so young. Like he really looks like a kid.
20. He was 21 next February.
He had this infectious kind of like bright eyes after the game that just portrays how young he is. And as you say, the dark arts, there was a lot of game intelligence there to win the first free, and his involvement in the first two in the other two goals. I think a lot of people just don't do that. They screw that up. Even at higher levels in Ireland, they'd be selfish. He wasn't. it just gives us another option, because he's that was a real revelation of performance.
Yeah, and look, I haven't seen enough of the 90 minutes of it, but I'm given to understand that he could equally play in the Josh Cullen role, or he could play in the Jeff Hendrick role, and now he can play as like a link between our forward and our midfield. So
he's 19, like, so it's, you know, these positions.
20.
He's which?
He's 20.
20 even, sorry. These positions are fluid. So it's like, do you know what I mean? Ireland were overrun at times last night. When they played the two lads in midfield with three up top, like, at times they are stretched. And that's the benefit of having five at the back, in that there will be cover there. There will be a body in the way. But, you know, you need to be fluid in these positions. And, like, just to mention Jeff Hendrick as well. Jeff Hendrick's ball for the second goal. And this is what I like about it, because Kenny doesn't mind his players kind of making mistakes, and he's like, "Don't worry about it. We, you know, if that didn't work out, you can immediately change the situation." Jeff Hendrick, there was a simple ball through, and it would have, I can't remember who it was, but Hendrick just needed to play it long, and we were in. He didn't. He played the wrong ball out to the right, but Ogbeni then won it back. So Hendrick having, and nobody really called this at the time, but Hendrick made the wrong decision. He didn't look up properly and so on and so forth. But like, Benny won the ball back, and then he plays this beautiful ball in, and we score a second goal. And I think Hendrick's performances, this is the best he's played since 2016, you know.
Yeah, it's what we thought we were going to get after 2016. And
that's Stephen Kenny. That is Stephen Kenny. These players for our other Irish managers went missing in games, and that is down to Stephen Kenny 100%.
Yeah, I don't know. You can't be giving him the credit for that, though. That's like, oh, he only sees him for sure. I think, come on. He gets no credit from people for stuff. But I think it's clear that Kenny's influence on these players having confidence. And look, the importance of the confidence as well. Like, I think if they were to get a 1-0 lead like they did against Portugal now in Faro, they'd be much better. Because that was a team that was completely shorn of confidence. And
yeah,
then, and they needed the break of the penalty save. Like, that's a big sliding doors moment in this whole thing, where Bazunu saves the penalty.
Oh.
And like, I don't know. There's strength in depth. I mean, it's not amazing strength in depth, but there is some strength in depth all of a sudden that they've established over the period of.
And I'd like to think, Ger, as well, in games that when we are fortunate enough to take the lead, and I think this will be a big break for people who watch Ireland over the years, when Ireland take the lead against decent teams now, you'll notice that Kenny will go for the jugular. He's going to try to stretch the defence of the opposition rather than what we have, we hold. But we just need those emergence of, we need one of these strikers to come through. That could be the next step, because we're still winning games without strikers really at the moment. We just, Callum Robinson's doing okay, but you know, we are struggling in that area still. And I think that's testament to the Irish team that we found a way to win.
All right, we've already talked about Andy Farrell, who's in the green as well, but certainly he has... he's taken that job and run with it, and is the very best expression of everything that we wanted from Irish rugby, where we have forward strength, we have some strength and depth, we have, he seems not to care about any of the stuff that was seemed to have been important before. He's just picked his team, sent them out there, made some changes, backed his guys the whole way through, his support of James Gibson Park and James Lowe in particular. Did you see the James Lowe interview afterwards, where he was like, "You bollocks has always given me grief about my day."
His defence, yeah. Yeah.
But he called the presenter "you bollocks" on Channel 4.
Seems a bit of a character, to be fair.
A lot of love for him in the crowd. And Bundy Aki, the love that the crowd had for Bundy Aki in the stadium was intense.
Johnny Sexton's kid in his arms after the game, nice moment.
It was all very nice, yeah.
Sounded like an amazing atmosphere,
well,
to be fair.
I saw people giving out about the fact that they did a lap. It's like the first full stadium in 2.5 years.
Mm.
You know, we're thanking everybody for sticking with us through these difficult times, and we've come out the other side, and we're celebrating because we just won a big game. Are we not allowed? When Liverpool win a big game, at the end of it, what do? He sends them over to the Kop after a league match, so they'll be Palace or whoever, and they'll go over to the Kop and they'll be like, "Yeah, because you're the fans and we're the players and we're in this together."
Big fan of hurling clubs, it turns out.
Is he?
I think the Myler spoke about it in the book.
Right.
Klopp is fascinated by hurling, yeah.
Right,
this is something that...
We should get him on for his analysis
of
the draw in Tipperary and the fallout from that. We'll get into that later on this week. But anyway, that is this week's performance rankings.
OTBAM's performance rankings with Gillette.
OTB AM.
With Gillette. Proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.